Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things. You don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Welcome to Kingdom of God Ministries. We're trying something a little different tonight. We will be broadcasting live on Facebook and on Blog Talk Radio. But I would like to give you our call-in number. Our guest call-in number is 646-668-8633. If you have any questions or comments, be sure to send them. We want to hear your comments. We want to hear your, just let us know you're out there, you're listening. You can just hit me up on Facebook. Just give me a thumbs up or let us know if you can hear the sound is good, and we'll go from there. But tonight we will be teaching on the age of moral decay. And before we start our teaching, I would like to open up with prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you on tonight. Lord, we thank you for your bountiful blessings. Lord God, we thank you for giving us a platform where we can come to your people, bringing your unadulterated word. And Lord God, if there's anything in us that is not like you, we ask that you take it out, cleanse us, Lord, because we just want to be walking in your will. and your way, Father God. We humbly bow ourselves before the throne of grace and mercy. And Lord God, we even ask that you go out through our listening audience and touch those that are afflicted or bound up. Lord God, bring your Holy Spirit to them and touch them right now. You know what their individual needs are. We ask that you touch them, heal, deliver, and set free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And we're live tonight. I have Bishop Bobby Montgomery, pastor here with me. We will be bringing, just being on 60 Minutes on tonight, but we will go ask the Lord lead us. Amen. So tonight we are teaching, our scripture will be coming out of Judges 17:6. Proverbs 14 and 12. So if you have your Bibles, you could turn there with me now. But we are talking about every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And the reason we chose this text today, because if you can look around in the world, you could see all it's just so much going on. And it starts with the church. And you know, a lot of the programs now, they're even making mockery of the church, pretty much. They telling you that really the church is living just like the world. So there's no difference, you know. Or they'll say we're all saved by grace. So you can live any kind of way you want to. No one should say anything to you because you do what thou wilt. And that's the attitude of a lot of people today. And it's so sad that it's the attitude of a lot of believers. Do what thou wilt. And I'm not accountable for anything. I can do what I want to do, and I don't have to answer to nobody. But you know what? One day you will. We try to bring the word as God give us. So let's go on into the word. And then I will come to you for a few minutes, and then I'll turn it over to Pastor here. Amen. So I say, every man did that which was right in his own eyes, kind of like the purge. You know, there's a movie now where it was lawlessness. People was doing whatever they wanted to do. So Judges 6 says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let me read that again. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, okay? But the end thereof are the ways of death. That's Proverbs 14 and 12. Let's look at the state of Christianity today. It has returned, and you know it as well as I do, in the same condition that Israel was in during the time of Judges. This statement in Judges, what we're talking about, 17:6 and 21:25, is not a positive statement about Israel. Or let's say about Israel or about the church. This should not be in the church. There should be some guidelines and some moral statutes that we follow as Christians in the church. Now, I'm not talking so much in the world because we know they have no restraints. But I see now it has crept into the church. The world has crept into the church, and we see the church is trying to adapt to the world. There was no judges in the land to the point out that sin was rampant because it was lawlessness. I believe that's over in Timothy. He said that in the last days there will be extreme lawlessness. And we see that today. Anytime you could just kill a person, go into, well, you say you went into his apartment but it was, you thought it was yours, and you could cold-bloodedly kill somebody, and you can justify that. Lawlessness. This is what we're being faced with today. Lawlessness. People being gunned down, shot down like dogs, but it's right in their own eyes, the person who's doing this. Or shoot a man on the parking lot because you're using this law that was provided by lawless people, stand your ground. So who have the rights? The perpetrator or the victim? What we see in today's society, lawlessness. Everyone did that which was right in their own eyes, not according to God's law, but their own eyes, what they thought was right. You see what I'm saying? The law of God had been forsaken and replaced with subjectivism, subjection. This is exactly what we're seeing today in our postmodern relativist culture. This is what we're seeing. It is to be expected that the world will act like this. We know that. We know the world act like this. But this attitude also has entered and almost overwhelmed Christendom as we know it. No moral conduct. Christians living how they want to live. And they use it as a means to justify, don't judge me. Now, you know, if you read the Bible, there are certain things that God said to his people that was an abomination to him. But yet you say, don't judge me. Because why? Because you're doing what is right in your own eyes, and you're not doing what is right in the law of God. Some of you know shacking is not of God, but you're justified. And you'll say, well, I love him or her, so it doesn't really matter. You have created your own laws and ignored what God said about no liars, no fornicators, no adulterers will have their place with me. Is that a judgment? Did Evangelist Montgomery say that? Or did it come out the Bible? Some of you know you're liars and you cheat and you do everything you can to get a dollar. But you'll justify those scriptures to benefit you. A lot of you pastors, you know you're lying to these sheep. You know you're fleecing them, but you'll justify the scriptures to fit you. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes, because there is a spirit of lawlessness going along in the land. And this is what we're seeing today. The same thing that happened in Israel is happening today. Look around. Look around. Christianity is remade in the image of imaginations of men. You turn to Romans 1:21. In the imaginations of men. So what men think should be Christianity, bypassing what God say, men has created their own doctrine, their own religion, and we know they've always did this. And they teach their religion and their doctrine, making God's doctrine of none effect. God's doctrine say love your brother, but you put in there, I love those that love me. You want. Okay? The rules are being set by false teachers, what I just say, and Christian masses are quick to follow the false teachers. Why is that? Now, that's my question for you tonight. Why is it that so many Christians is flocking to a lot of these mass churches and you know the man is teaching you lies? But you won't even question it because why? He's telling you something you want to hear. He's telling you it's okay to live in sin. He's telling you it's okay to gamble, it's okay to lie, it's okay to cheat. Because we don't judge here. Let the Bible be your judge. Pattern yourself after the Bible. We don't judge here either. But there is guidelines that you need to follow according to the Bible. If you call yourself a Christian, maybe I should rephrase that. I'm going to give you a few examples of the ways in which Christianity is being remade in the image of what seems right to men. Okay? And if you have questions, like I said, call in. We're here for you. We don't want to just sit and do all the teaching. I know some of you have some questions out there. Our guest call-in number is 646-668-8633. Okay? Number one, this is how they remake Christianity, okay? Postmodernism, this is what we call today, is good, and even in the nature of God, Christians can mix New Age Eastern mysticism with Christianity, and they're doing it today. They're getting a lot of pagan beliefs like this yoga they're teaching in church now, transcendental meditation, astral projection, where all this stuff it shouldn't be in the church. And some of the teaching is, one, it's the emerging church, which you have Leonard Sweet, Brian McLaren, Dan Kimball, Richard Foster, and many others. I know some of these guys might be some of your idols, but they're teaching you a false doctrine. And then you have cultures that were created by God and being redeemed by him, but the pagans can go back to worship any of their former gods because they are really worshiping the true God all along. That's a lie. I see more of this Hinduism is creeping in the church where they are worshiping false gods, where they have idols sitting up in the church of God. Paganism has crept into Christianity. Like I said, yoga. And then you have a lot of these circles, and now they're doing the candle worship and all this stuff. It's pagan. We should worship the only true God. We should have no other gods before the true God, the true and living God. Amen? So now they're teaching all these different movements, you know, the indigenous peoples movement, you know, the new apostolic reformation, Menorah, or Yahwam. And you have some of these guys teaching, Terry LeBlanc, Don Richardson, a lot of the other ones teaching this stuff. Better learn how to study the scriptures. Then another one, anything to get more people into the churches, you know about that. So they teach a compromise of the gospel and the truth because the end justifies the means. So you have other people teaching this compromising gospel, the church growth movement. They even send business little cards to, what do you want out of the church? Because they cater into the people. Not teaching the word of God, but you got to cater to them. What do you expect out of, why would you ask the world, what do they think a church should be like? Because if you look into the world, they already told you on some of these programs, portraying the church members as a lot of fornicators, whoremongers, adulterers, liars, murderers, cheats. This is what they portraying to the church, as the church. You know why? Because they have no moral restraints. This is what the world does. And the world is looking at the church and really mocking the church. Say, this is what you guys teach and preach in y'all holier than thou churches. And this is what's going on. The world is laughing at us, saints. They're laughing. Because they don't even see the church as being an institution of respectability anymore. Women coming in church scantily dressed, come as you are. They use that. What did I say? How they twist the scriptures? Come as you are. But you use that to wear perverse, seductive clothing. You know what you're doing. It used to be that women would dress in a modest manner. But now, sometimes I have to look again and say, am I in church or am I in a club? I'm not here to police, clothing police for nobody. But there is some guidelines that should be instituted in God's house. There should be some respect for God's house. Number one, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, there are some things the Holy Spirit will shut it down right there. And I've witnessed it. I've been watching certain programs on TV, and the Holy Spirit will say, cut that off. Because little by little, it's creeping into our homes, and we're getting comfortable with it. We're getting comfortable with the adultery. We're passive. We're okay with that. Used to be a time for prime time, wouldn't have all this light rated X stuff. Now you got Naked and Afraid, and you have all kinds of programs where people, it ain't enough for them to take off their clothes, and I mean really get passionate in the bedroom scene. And the church is silent. Let's go on. I'm going to wrap it up. And then you have this other teaching where the mandate is to take over the world, the government, the businesses for Christ, thereby ushering in the return of Christ. God ain't told you to do that, because this world is not our home. Now, if you're a businessman or a businesswoman, you should demonstrate godly principles in the workplace. But God did not tell you that it was your mandate to take over the world. They call that dominionism, nor transformation movement. And you have some of the ones, Peter Wagner and George Otis, Bill Harmon, Paul Kane. Like I say, some of these guys, I know they're your idols, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Because judgment do begin in the house of God. And if these people is teaching erroneous doctrine, then it should be called out. Okay? Then you have promises. Some of them portray a promises of healing, you know. But you got to give them that seed. You give them $1,000 seed, you're going to get your blessing, honey. The promises of healing and atonement are made in order to fleece the flock. We know God is a healer. Jesus is a healer. But you shouldn't use a lot of these fake testimonies or things that you have manufactured to get people to believe in your ministry. That's wrong, and that's deception. It really is a form of fleecing the flock. They make wild claims and stories are told with no proof in order to build a following and secure fame. Did you hear what I said? And fortune for those who teach these things. Take a look around. The people that these word of faith preachers that's teaching this, look how they live. Lavish lifestyles. 4 and 5 jets. You see what I'm saying? Because they're fleecing the flock. And some of these word of faith, you know who they are. They have their whole network. Just cut it, cut on TBN. You see their whole network of them. And all they talk about is that money, the almighty dollar. They ain't telling you how to get closer to God, closer to your pocketbook. A lot of deception. And then you have this doctrine of psychology mixed with Christianity. Like, they'll tell you, I'm okay, you're okay. Positive thinking. Look in the mirror and tell yourself, today is a beautiful day. Positive thinking. suppression of the hard facts of the gospel. They don't even talk about that. They don't talk about sin. Oh, I'll leave that for somebody else. I'm not going to, God didn't call. Yeah, because you're fleecing the flock. You're manipulating God's people and you're lying to God's people. So they suppression of the hard facts of the gospel and they talk story with scripture, twisting the scripture. So they'll tell you a lot of stories, but notice how much you get the unadulterated word of God. A lot of these positive thinkers is Schullerism. You remember Schuller? He's deceased now, but he started it. Then you have Robert Schuller, Rick Warren, Bill Hybel, Joel Osteen. A lot of these folks, they ain't teaching. They're not giving you any meat of the word. They're giving you all this positive. They're using psychology on you, people. Wake up. You're being manipulated. And then you have the heavy shepherding control of the churches and all Christendom. Their agenda is based on false prophecy and implemented by false apostles, false Latter-day Dominionist movement. And then they have legalism, adding works to salvation. And that's a lot of that is in a lot of hyper-Pentecostal movement. A lot of legalism based on one man's belief. And this is the only way you can get to heaven unless you live like this way. Then they have anti-manaism. That means holding on that it is not necessary to exhibit moral behavior as a Christian, as we are saved by faith alone. A denial of the importance of sanctification because they believe once saved, always saved. So if you go out there and you murder somebody, you don't have to repent because when you was 3 years old, you said the sinner's prayer. Devil is a lie. What happened to repentance in the house of God? And you got a lot of them teaching this same hyper grace. Do whatever you want. No consequences. I mean, you even have consequences at work. They have moral dress codes. They have moral, HR set in place. No sexual harassment. This and other. So you telling me if you go and you sexually harass somebody, HR will fire you. Why do you think they have codes in the business place, but you don't feel that God should have no moral restraints whatsoever? Because I'm saved by grace. So I can live anywhere I want to. Oh, this teacher, I know it's not popular. I know it's not popular, you know, but you know what? It is what it is, because I'm going to tell you the truth anyhow. It's too much foolishness going on in the church, and the world is laughing at the church. And I just wanted to give you a few examples of the Christian and the image and imaginations of men. This is what's going on. But the Bible clearly teaches against these concepts. But we are in an age where everyone does what is right in their own eyes. It is not surprising to see the Bible redefined or simply ignored. Mm-hmm. But there are consequences. You hear what I'm saying? To doing what is right in your own eyes. It is the way of death. That's Proverbs 14 and 12. Those who teach these things are bringing strange fire, because the Lord Jesus Christ will judge you for that. He's going to judge these false pastors and preachers too. They will not simply lose their rewards in heaven. They will suffer eternal death. You can't just make this stuff up. You can't just make it up and say, well, it don't apply to me. Because God, what he put in there is really for us to live by. That Bible, that word of God is for us to live by daily. Not just put it on the shelf and take it down when you need it. Or call the prayer line when you want a money blessing. This is a daily lifestyle. Amen? So I just wanted to bring that out. Age of moral decay. And we are closely. I mean, so many things is unveiling right before your eyes. You're seeing so much. You're seeing things right here in the church. And people act like they don't even have no sense of God. They don't even care. They do what they want to do. Act how they want to act. And have no kind of conscience whatsoever. With that, I'm going to yield the floor over to my husband, Pastor Bobby, and he will go as the Lord lead him. Amen? Be blessed.
Amen. We want to just thank the Lord and thank God for what has been said so far in reference to the subject of the night, the age of moral decay. And just like the Word of God says, judgment begins at the house of God first, then it goes out to the world. And that's rightfully so, because there has to be a standard of righteousness on the earth, and that standard of righteousness is by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, sent down from the Father God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The reason we picked this particular subject is because of the age that we're living in, all the things that's going on in the world. There are things going on that's horrible that I have never seen in my life. I've never seen it before. Even in the weather, it's just strange. It's not normal. It's something that's unbelievable. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because a man's actions somewhat controls his surroundings. If a man negatively affects nature, he's going to have ramifications from that. Well, what am I saying? Okay, look at California. They go out there, they cut down all the trees, okay? They cut back the forestry. They plant trees where they shouldn't plant them, and they cut trees where they shouldn't be. And now what do we have? We have abundance of drought. We have abundance of fire and erosion. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Because man has taken the concept of, well, it's right for me to do this thing. It's right for me to do these things, because many times it's because of greed and money. Well, we need these trees for this. We need this for that. We need this for that. So we can do whatever we want to do for the land, to the land, and think that everything is going to be okay. Well, everything is relative, but it's not in God's eyesight. And that's one of the reasons why we're talking about the age of moral decay. Some people might think that, well, what I do doesn't affect others. It's just affecting me. No, what you do affect others all the time. What you say affect others all the time. And many times, I say so many times, that words are worse than bullets. And the reason I say that, somebody can shoot at somebody and miss them. So that bullet doesn't affect that person, although it's a very scary experience, but it doesn't hurt that person because it missed. But when you say a word to somebody, that word never misses. Why am I saying this? Because some people don't care what they say. They don't have the moral concept to govern their words or to govern their actions. Remember what we're talking about, the age of moral decay. Now, when you talk about moral decay, it starts with the individual, with the people, but then it spreads out over the land. Now, when it spreads out over the land, what do you get? You get what you see on the news every night. You get people running around, robbing and killing people for no reason, jacking people, robbing people, stealing from people, busting in ATMs, breaking off in people's homes, snatching from, you know, stealing children, because they think that's okay.
And they're us.
They think that's acceptable. That's what they think is all right in their eyes. Now, I was just saying that to just open up some things, but I'm getting ready to get into the Word. I'm not going to just, you know, tell you, give you my opinions of things. No, no, my opinion really doesn't mean that much. But the Word of God means everything. Mm-hmm. Our Lord and Savior means everything. The Holy Ghost means everything. God the Father, Yahweh, means everything. And His Word is what's important. His Word is what is solid. His Word is what's going to last forever. All these other things is going to pass away. And you know I'm telling the truth because you have experienced many things that have passed away. It has passed away. There's no more. But the Word already said that. So let's go and get into what God says about this age of moral decay. What God says about a people who says that it's right in my own eyes, it's right in our own eyes. Let's see what God says about that. All right? Now, the Bible says in the days of Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes, Judges 17:6. And many people think that this is a good thing, you know. But it becomes quite clear when studying in context that this is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. Proverbs explains that every way of a man is right in his own eyes, Proverbs 21:2. Now, I want to go back even to Genesis before the flood. And God said something. He said something in relevance to this. He said the thoughts and the hearts of mankind was continually evil. Was continually evil. So why would God say that they were continually evil? Because they thought everything they did was right in their own eyes. So if they looked at a woman, and that was, you know, that woman was somebody else's wife, they said, I want that woman. I think that's right. I don't think he should have that woman. So he'd go over there and take that woman, maybe even kill a man and take the woman. Covetousness. Mm-hmm. Jealousy. Some people have in their mind that you shouldn't have what you have. I ought to have what you have. Mm-hmm. They think that's right. They don't consider that as wrong, and a lot of that is going on this day. Why is it like that? I'm going to get into why it's like that. Now, Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. That's interesting that the Lord would say that like that. So just by this explanation in Proverbs, we can tell this is not a good way for the people to live. They have thrown God's law out and live the way they believe is right. But the way they believe is best. Now, that's interesting. You throw out the scripture, you throw out God's law, and you replace it with what you think. Like, God, you don't know what he's talking about. God, I don't even know if God is real. So I'm just going to go off of what I think is right. I'm going to go off of what I think is real. And then you have a shipwreck, and many people do the things that they want to do the things that they think is right, and then after they have a horrifying accident, a horrifying shipwreck, or they ruin their lives completely, then they turn around and blame the same God that they don't believe in. Wow, that is really amazing that someone, the atheist, or someone like that who don't have a real belief in God always cry, oh God, when bad stuff happened to them. That's real interesting that they would say that, but they don't believe in God, and they've been living their own way all of their lives. answering to no one, not even to God, living their own way, living what is right in their own eyes, and they cry, oh God, when their life don't work out, when they've done things according to their way all their life. And then they want to blame God for their misfortune, for their error, for how they turn their back on God, how they say that God doesn't exist. Of course, many times somebody told them that God doesn't exist, or they maybe were taught that in college that God doesn't exist, or maybe they accept Darwinism or Marxism or fascism or communism or all the other isms that's in the world. They accept that, but they don't want to believe in God. But you're going to believe in something. You're going to follow something or someone. That's basically the nature of man. Doing right in your own eyes. Now, today we see in this world, it's very interesting, as well as in the church, many people hold to the worldwide worldview of relativism. Now, what is that? Interesting. Relativism is a state of mind where there's really no absolutes. There's really no true right or no true wrong. So everything is based on what society says or situational ethics. All right? That is relativism. You have no true absolutes. Okay? So it's not hot or, and it's not cold, but it's whatever society says it is. Society might say that it's okay to sing filthy songs.
You heard what China did.
Yeah, society might say that it's all right to look at all kinds of filth on television.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Society might say that it's all right to be a pedophile.
Ooh.
Or to kidnap kids. It's all relative.
Yeah.
It's all relative, see? On what society says. That's relativism. So when you start talking about right and wrong of things according to the word of God, then you're going to have some problems. But I remember a time in history, and there's something kind of going on right now, where in ancient Roman times, it was against the law to be a believer. It was against the law to believe in Jesus Christ. It didn't matter that you were an outstanding citizen and that you didn't break any laws. But in Rome, at one time, they would feed you to the lions. They would make torches out of you at night. They would tar you. They would put you in gladiatorial rings. They would kill you any way they wanted to. And in many countries, they're still doing that.
Yeah.
Right now, as we speak, not here, but in other countries, they are still doing that. Because they see that as being right in their own eyes. Relativism. That's what that basically means. That whatever society says is right, is right. So society says 2 + 2 = 5, then that's what's right. If you say 2 plus 2 equals to 4, you could be in a lot of trouble. We know that 2 plus 2 equals to 4. But society might say 2 plus 2 equals to 5, and you better put 5 down there. If you don't put 5 down there, you might not eat. Now, that sounds like the mark of the beast. Ooh. Well, that's where we're heading to. Now, consider this. Consider this for a moment. Consider judging. Yet to tell someone not to judge, to tell others what to do, is indeed judging. And telling others what to do. Well, you say, you're judging me, but at the same time, you're telling me not to judge you, so you're judging me also. But what is a judgment? A judgment is based somewhat on ignorance. And when I say that, when you have a trial and somebody is in the courtroom, the judge and those who are involved in the trial, they have to go by the evidence and the facts of the matter, because they don't know if the accused has really done this thing, so he has to be judged. But if somebody in there actually saw this person commit the crime, the person who saw the crime being committed is not judging that person, because he saw what actually happened. So he is not the judge. But the other people who didn't see that, they'd have to come to a conclusion by facts. Okay? So if a person is a sinner, and we all are sinners to a degree, we're not being judged. We're just stating a fact, especially when the actions have been seen. Now, let's go on. Let's go on with the Word of God. Let's go on with the Word of God. And we're having some little trouble with our camera here, but that's okay. You're going to always have some trouble in the world, because the world is full of trouble. But anyway, we're going to go on and say, when someone expresses their worldview that there are indeed no absolute truths, you hear what I say, absolute, relativity? We could easily ask them if that statement is absolutely true. If they answer yes, they have just self-refuted their own position. If they answer no, then we can assume their position is false. Either way, relativism is self-refuting. Relativism is self-refuting. All right, hold on a moment. There's some things that we have to take care of, and we're going to get right to that in just a moment. There's always going to be some things go on when you're doing things live. That's why when you have live shows on television, anything could happen. But we're going on with the program. All right. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's give an example. If there was no absolute moral standard, if there were no absolute moral standard, then no one could ever say that Hitler was a bad person. But we know that he was. But if there were no absolute moral standards, no one could ever say that Hitler was a bad person. According to relativism, Hitler was only following his own moral code. You see how dangerous that can be? That kind of behavior becomes perfectly acceptable in the relativist worldview, Did what was right in their own eyes? The age of moral decay. If they object to Hitler, they have once again refuted their own worldview. So living the way that is right in your own eyes is a self-refuting principle. All right. The book of Ruth takes place in this time. The text says it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, Ruth 1:1. So the story of Ruth takes place in the time of the judges when people lived according to their own moral standard. That's kind of like where we are right now. Unfortunately, the world is like that now. You hear that? Everyone lives according to their own moral standard. And truth is seen as relative, relative to the situation, relative to what society says, relative to what the news program says, relative to what songs are saying, relative of what is portrayed on television, relative to what is learned in college or at school, relative to all these things. And that's why things are like they are, because there's not that much truth that's been portrayed in this country. It's all twisted and set aside based on someone's perception of right and wrong, and what is true and what is not true. My God. It said, my Lord, it said, most denominational churches have even let this bad theology slip into their own churches in the name of acceptance. There's some things, people, that we should not accept regardless. If it goes against the word of God, regardless of relativism in the country, it should not be accepted. We have to hold a higher moral standard than the world, than society. We have to be the light that's set up on a hill that can't be put up on the bushel, but have to be took out from under the bushel so that the world can see that light and come to it and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. There's no other way. There is no other way, regardless of what the world says, regardless of relativism, regardless of situational ethics, regardless of what they teach you in college. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. It's the only way to true righteousness. It's the only way to truth. You can't do it like Burger King. You can't have it your way. I'm sorry. You can't. No one can. And as a result of people having it their way and doing it their way is the reason why the world is so messed up today. Because everybody has their own concept of right and have their own concept of wrong, separate from the ways of God. And it doesn't work. That's why we have so much blood in the streets. That's why we have so many murders. That's why we have police shooting innocent people. And that's why we have people just shooting people, period. Robbing and killing and stealing and doing all just things that's unimaginable is being done in this nation, because we have left God. And then we make excuses for leaving God. And the name and political correctness. Sometimes we don't need to be politically correct. We just need to say things, the truth as it is. Forget political correctness, because political correctness many times is invented to control people or to control the politicians. So they can't say what's right and wrong. They can't tell the truth because it won't be politically correct. What does politically correct has to do with righteousness? And what is good? I'm getting ready to close it down. says no longer acceptable to call sin what it is anymore. You can't do that in church no more. So how does a fundamental Christian live in today's world and stay faithful to God? You just can't hardly do it. Because we're living in this age of moral decay. So what are we going to do about that? Well, you're going to have to live righteously according to the word of God. You're going to have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're going to have to keep his commandments. You're going to have to live according to what God says is righteous, not what man says. We have to live according to the word. Whose word? The word of God. We have to follow example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Where are you going to find that? You're going to find that in the Bible. As I say so many times, if we're not talking about, especially me as being a bishop or a pastor or elder or a leader in the church, I'm going to promote Jesus Christ because he is the one that we're going to ultimately have to answer for this life that we live. And we're going to have to accept him. As I said, you're going to have to believe that he is the Son of the living God and that God raised him from the dead and that he is our Savior and that we accept him as our Messiah, as our Lord and Savior. Then we're walking on the right track, the right way. Then we can live a high life in Christ. We won't have to be a part of this age of moral decay. So at that, I'm going to close off the program on tonight. I thank God for all of you that have listened, and I pray that all of you get some revelation from this word.
Yeah.
Father God, we want to bless everyone that listened to the program on tonight. Father God, we ask that you touch their minds and hearts, that they will receive revelation from your word. Father God, we come against any hindering spirit that would deny them revelation and understanding of your word. We ask that you bless them and keep them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Oh, it started over.
For some reason, it didn't really.